have your say.
Call 1300 222 702.
This is Afternoons with Mark Humphreys, filling in for James O'Loughlin.
On 702 ABC Sydney and across ABC New South Wales.
We are looking now at hair loss and scalp conditions with dermatologist Dr. Ritu Gupta. So if you have a question about those topics, receding hairlines or dandruff, you can call us on 1-300-222-702 or text on 0467-922-702. But yes, dermatologist Dr. Ritu Gupta is here with us now. Welcome to Afternoons.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I am fantastic. Now, can you just take us back a little bit when it comes to hair loss? What do we understand at the moment about the contributing factors to hair loss? What's causing people to lose their hair?
Well, I suppose the first thing, just to make clear, because a lot of people do not know that dermatologists are actually specialists not only in skin but hair and nails. So that is part of our remit. So the only specialists in hair, skin and nails are dermatologists. So we basically look at hair loss and we divide it into scarring and non-scarring hair loss. So scarring hair loss, we probably don't really need to touch on because fortunately it is far less common. Includes things like lupus of the scalp, lichen planus and other conditions. And just to get it out of the way, scarring hair loss is the worst form of hair loss because the hair bulbs from where the hair is generated are actually scarred. So once someone has scarring hair loss in the area where they have scarring, the hair can never grow back. So most forms of hair loss, fortunately, are non-scarring hair loss. So there's the common male and female pattern hair loss, or the other term for this is called androgenetic alopecia. And then there are other forms of hair loss, cyclical hair loss, things like telogen effluvium, which I and all dermatologists are seeing a lot of at the moment with the very significant amounts of medical induced weight loss. So oh. When people have significant weight loss with, you know, things like Ozempic and Wegovy and Mounjaro, so fabulous for them in lots of different ways. And I've spoken about that on ABC 702. But if people lose a lot of their, a high percentage or proportion of their body weight quickly, it's a big trigger that shocks the hair into a phase called telogen. And that is the phase where the hair is designed to fall. So, I mean, I would see at least 2 or 3 patients a week with that because there is this huge uptake in the use of those medications. When we talk about pattern hair loss or male or female pattern hair loss, a lot of it is genetic, but the inheritance of hair loss is complex. It's not as simple as, you know, dad and grandpa were bald, so therefore I'm going to go bald, although that might be quite likely. But it's what's called multigenomic inheritance. So there are lots of different genes involved, but definitely genetics plays a big role. The other thing that we're increasingly seeing with male and female pattern hair loss these days is if people are on testosterone, that can also trigger a form of pattern type hair loss. When people are taking oral steroids to boost their muscles, you know, which is completely inadvisable, and anabolic steroids, that can also contribute to hair loss. But often it is pure and simple, just genetics and bad luck.
Oh, man, I just, you know what, it's just, there's all these side effects. You're trying to deal with one other problem and then you're causing something else. This is just,
yes,
where's the silver bullet? All right, we are.
Luckily, it's not serious. Okay. Luckily, but look, it massively affects people's self-esteem, men and women included. Like, I feel sorry for the poor young men who are expected just to sort of, you know, put up with it. It makes a big difference to how they feel about themselves, if they're getting out there trying to meet a life partner. All of those things makes them look old before their time. So these things, yes, they're not harming their health, but it does definitely affect how people feel about themselves and their self-esteem.
Well, we're getting already lots of texts and calls here, so let's jump straight in. So Richard has called in. Hello, Richard. How do you do?
Oh, hi, Mark.
Now, Richard, hi. What's your experience? What are you dealing with at the moment?
Yeah, well, I've had gradual hair loss over time, but then recently I had a mole on the side of my head on the around the temple area, and it went all lumpy and I scratched at it, and eventually I wore it off, scratched it off. And probably 2 weeks later, I had this crop circle develop about 50 millimetres across. So I've just got this big circle on the side of my head now and no hair's growing back.
All right.
That could be, I mean, obviously I can't diagnose, you know, over the phone, on the radio, but that could be another quite common form of hair loss, which is called alopecia areata. And that is where people will often get a sort of a circular patch, like a size of a 50-cent piece. They may just have one. It may progress and they get several. And very rarely people can actually lose all their hair. The good thing about alopecia areata is it responds really well to treatment. So I would suggest first step is go see a GP and let them have a look at you. And you may not need to see a dermatologist. Your GP may feel perfectly confident and happy to treat you, or else if they think you need to see a specialist, they'll send you along to a dermatologist and we can treat it really well. The hair almost always grows back, and that should be the end of it. You can get a recurrence in the future if that is what you have.
Okay. Yep. Hope that helped, Richard. Thanks so much for calling in.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers. Bye. We're going to go now to Viv. And Viv, yes, hello, good afternoon, Viv.
G'day, Mark. How are you?
I'm well. So, yes, what would you, what's your, do you have a question for Dr. Gupta?
Thank you, doctor. I'm on heart failure drugs and a massive amount of my hair's been coming out. Mm-hmm. And I'm also on blood thinners and statins and, you know, blood pressure.
A bunch
drugs.
Of different things, yeah.
And I'm wondering whether that could be having an effect. It's causing me a lot of anxiety. My hair's falling out in masses.
Yes, look, again, it's hard to say. There are some medications that have hair loss, or the medical term for hair loss is alopecia, that have that in their list of potential side effects. When you're on a bunch of different medications, it can be difficult to know, and often there may be other factors, and the problem is too, once you get more stressed about it, the stress also makes more hair fall, so you can end up in this terrible sort of vicious cycle. I think that if you've got medications that have been recently introduced, or a single medication that was introduced within the last 3 months, and that sort of coincides with when the hair loss began, then it's something, again, that you should have a chat to the prescribing doctor about. So quite often the trigger can be something that occurred 3 months earlier. So that's really where when I take a history from a patient, that's very often what I'm saying is, what happened three months ago? Was there anything major? Was there a change in medication, change in weight, significant life stress, hospitalisation? They're the sorts of things that I'm usually thinking about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank
you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Thanks so much for calling in. All the best. All the best to you.
Thank you.
We're going to now Trish. And Trish, you've got a question for Dr. Gupta.
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Hi
Dr. Gupta. I've had some hair thinning just on the top of my head, but I don't know what's caused that. I was on a keto diet a few years back. I feel that might have had some effect. I've also had radiation, but that was about 10 years ago. I've gone on to minoxidil. And I'm just wondering,
tablet or are you using a lotion?
I put a drop. I think it's one milligram morning and night. I've been doing that for 3 months. I'm near the end of the first bottle. I have got another bottle because it does say it could be, you know, 6 to 8 months. I am seeing some baby hairs coming up, but I'm just wondering about, because there's a lot of warnings on this. And I'm just wondering about, long-term use of it.
Look, minoxidil topically, so applied on the surface, it is very safe. It's a very old medication, minoxidil. So it's always good to actually take an old medication because it means we know it backwards. Yeah. So in its sort of traditional original use, it was used for high blood pressure as a tablet. These days there's so many other blood pressure medications that it's not really used for that anymore. One thing I would say... What was that?
I'm on high blood pressure tablets.
Right, yeah. This, you know, putting it on the surface is not going to affect your blood pressure. But what I was going to say is minoxidil is often much more successful when it's taken orally. So it's something you could have a chat to your doctor about, particularly if you're also on medication for blood pressure, because then you might be able to have a tablet that is not only going to regrow your hair, but it will also treat your blood pressure. Again, it's a discussion to have with your GP or whoever's looking after your blood pressure.
Oh, great. Okay, great. I've got to go.
Perfect.
Two for one. Yeah, love it.
Okay. There we go. Terrific. Thank you, Trish. Thanks for calling. All the best. Yes, gosh, I've got to tell you, Dr. Gupta, so many texts coming through. All right, I'm going to try and get through as many as I can. There's one here that's more of an observation about how can we put a man on the moon and yet we still haven't figured out hair falling out. That's a fair question. All right.
Very true. It's a mysterious organ, the hair. There's a lot we still don't understand.
Well, we've had a couple of questions related to the whole which side of the family does it come from, the maternal or fraternal? Do we have any... Is there any science to support this idea of it comes from, you can find that connection in the family line?
Look, again, it sort of harks back to what I said at the beginning. It's what's called multigenomic inheritance, which means there's lots of different genes involved. It's a bit like eye colour and height. These are things that are not just as simple as, you know, it's come from mum's side or it's come from dad's side. And quite often, you know, it will be on both sides of the family.
Okay, all right. So we'll put that to one side. Now, this is a very specific question, and forgive me if I'm clearly out of my depth here, so I'm deferring to you, Dr. Gupta. Is hair loss due to subclinical hyperthyroidism reversible? If so, how? Is that something you can see?
Yes, it is. Does it say hyperthyroidism?
Hypo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes, absolutely. So hypothyroidism, for the other listeners, means low thyroid. Thyroid's a gland that we have in our neck that excretes thyroid hormones. So when people have low thyroid, it can definitely cause hair loss. It is a non-scarring form of hair loss. So once the thyroid problem is addressed and the person is clinically normal, or the medical term is euthyroid, then that hair should grow back without any issues.
Okie doke. All right. Now, if you've just joined us, you are listening to ABC Radio across New South Wales, and you're hearing from dermatologist Dr. Ritu Gupta, and so many questions coming in. I'm going to take a call here from Brandon. Good afternoon, Brandon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I am fantastic. Brandon, what is your question for Dr. Gupta?
So for as long as I can remember, I've had issues of dandruff and on my face, dandruff and dermatitis around my nose, and I guess dandruff on my beard. And what I've noticed is when I allow my hair to grow on my head, it gets considerably worse. But when I go bald, the anti-dandruff shampoo actually works, and there's a lot less itchiness, flakiness. Does the hair have something to do with dandruff and irritation on the face and the head?
Okay. Yeah, look, that's a good question. So dandruff's super common. The medical term for dandruff is seborrheic dermatitis, and it classically occurs on the scalp, around the nose, in the eyebrows, on the sideburn, and in the beard. And men and women will very often find that when they've got shorter hair that the dandruff is not as pronounced. So dandruff's related to a little yeast that lives on the skin called Malassezia furfa. And Malassezia is part of what's called the normal flora, or, you know, more trendily these days called the microbiome. But some people have higher Malassezia loads than others, and classically it is higher in men. The Malassezia is a sort of fat-loving yeast, so that's why it tends to occur in the oily parts of the head and neck, and often the other place it can occur is in the middle of the chest, particularly in men. So definitely the hair does contribute to it. The other thing that makes seborrheic dermatitis or dandruff worse is if you are sick or unwell, run down for any other reason, people will often notice that their condition is worse. And some people also find that it's sort of worse in, you know, cyclically, like it can be worse. For some people it's worse in the summer, for some people it's worse in the winter. So it can be an individual thing. Hitting it with an anti-dandruff shampoo is a good option. So I often recommend 2% ketoconazole shampoo, and you get it from the chemist and you follow the instructions. And you can use it also in your beard. If you've got it on the chest, you can use it on the chest, and you can use it on the face and let it have a bit of contact time. And then sometimes a tar shampoo, just to maintain a couple of times a week, can help, you know, reduce recurrences.
Okay, hopefully there's something there for you, Brandon.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, cheers.
Perfect.
Thanks, Brandon. Thanks so much for calling in. And thank you, Dr. Gupta. You've been immensely helpful.
Little consults we're having on the radio today.
You'll invoice us at the end of the program. what else has come in? Sorry to use you as a sort of... obviously you are an expert, but I feel like we are getting...
No, that is my pleasure.
Free advice. So I've got another text here about, this is from Jane. Hi, Rita, how about hair loss due to perimenopause / age in general? Is there a product that can help hair regrowth? What do you say?
Yeah. So there's a form of alopecia or hair loss called senescent alopecia, which is senescent actually means old. We're probably not really allowed to say that anymore, especially given that perimenopause and menopause can hit women when they've still got many, many good years left and they're not old by any measure. Look, again, minoxidil topically as a lotion can definitely help. If someone has perimenopausal or menopausal symptoms and they need hormone replacement therapy for other reasons, then that may also help with their, senescent hair loss. I wouldn't advocate HRT just for the hair. I mean, it needs to be prescribed by your GP or gynecologist, you know, for specific symptoms. There are guidelines to the prescribing of it. But a simple first measure might be the over-the-counter minoxidil lotion. Usually I recommend the 5% lotion and use twice a day.
Okay, there we go. Now, we've got an anonymous question here. This actually does go back to something that you brought up at the start, and I don't know if you do feel like commenting on this, but the question is about scarring, frontal fibrosing alopecia. They said, yes. I understand the cause is unknown. Do you have any thoughts about why this might occur? I don't know if there's something you'd want to weigh in on.
Look, I wish I had the answer to that. No, we don't know the cause for frontal fibrosing alopecia. It's not actually that uncommon. What happens is, and it's very distressing, predominantly it occurs in women, and it's like they've got a headband of hair loss at the front of the hair. Sometimes they can also lose the eyebrows. And basically what happens is the hairline just marches backwards. And because it's scarring, so the most important thing in that condition is to have it diagnosed, which it sounds like your caller has, and usually that's by doing a biopsy. It's usually managed by a specialist dermatologist. And the most important thing is to turn off the inflammation that's attacking the hair bulb. So although we can't do anything about the areas where there's already scarring, what we can do is prevent further scarring, which means then preventing further hair loss. It tends to cluster with autoimmune conditions. So often, you know, we're always checking that a patient doesn't have other autoimmune conditions, things like lupus and rheumatoid arthritis, certain types of thyroid disease, and often we'll do routine screening blood tests. Sometimes there's a family history of those things, but quite often it is just what is called idiopathic, which means of no known cause. And again, as you said, Mark, at the beginning, you know, someone said we can put men and women on the moon, but there's still a lot that we don't know the answers to.
Mm-hmm. Another text here. If the doctor is able to discuss scalp psoriasis and the treatment of it, I will be very appreciative. I have had this condition for approximately 45 years, which has become worse during menopause. Thank you. Anything there?
Yeah, look, again, psoriasis, classically for most people, and it's quite a common condition, affects about 3% of the population. Usually it's a coming and going thing. So it has what's called exacerbations and remissions, and it's often made worse when, again, a bit like seborrheic dermatitis, made worse when people are unwell for other reasons. A lot of people with psoriasis report it's worse when they're stressed. The main things that we're trying to do in psoriasis are turn off the inflammation in the dermis, in the deeper layer of skin, and slow the cell cycling down so that people aren't getting those big, thick patches of scale. So, and again, it's very distressing for people. You know, they walk through a room and they're shedding all over their clothes. They feel like they need a vacuum cleaner to vacuum up all the skin scale. So the classic sort of first line things are often tar-based shampoos to slow cell cycling down. Sometimes if it's really bad, prescription tar and salicylic acid, which is the active ingredient in aspirin creams, which are pretty gucky and mucky to put on the scalp. And, you know, I always say to patients, listen, you're not going to like me very much after you've used this, because it takes them lots of hair washes to wash it out and it stains their pillows and bedding. So, you know, we try not to use those unless we really need to, if it's very thick. Then things like steroid lotions to turn off inflammation. If it's really bad, then we are often looking at tablet therapy. So a tablet based on vitamin A can help with scalp psoriasis. And then it becomes just what's called a therapeutic ladder. So depending upon how bad it is, the severity, the thickness, the extent, the symptoms, that determines and how people have responded, that determines what other treatments we pull out of our toolbox. So then we move into other tablets, and at its very worst, there are various injections, biologics, the biologic class of medications that can be used.
Okay, now I think we've probably got time for maybe one more question. And Dr. Gupta, you've done so well. Thank you so much. This is extraordinary. So this text here, I have two sons, both on medication for hair loss, and I can see a follow-up text saying it must minoxidil. Okay, two sons, both on minoxidil for hair loss. For one, it's worked, and the other made absolutely no difference. I know that it's hard to diagnose over the phone, Dr. Gupta, but I wonder if you have any thoughts on why it might differ between these two brothers.
Well, sometimes it's about the dose. It's about whether they're taking their medication. I'm presuming that this person is talking about oral minoxidil. If they're not talking about oral minoxidil, then I'd certainly suggest that they have a discussion about oral minoxidil. If they are talking about oral minoxidil, some people just need higher doses. Sometimes if the form of hair loss has a lot of what's called miniaturization, so shrinkage of the hair bulb, then it can be appropriate to use things like finasteride or dutasteride, which actually block the shrinkage of the hair bulb so that the hair bulb can regrow back to its normal size, so that the hair it's producing is thicker. So sometimes for male pattern hair loss, we often need two different types of medication because there's two things going on.
Yes. Apparently, so I just got a follow-up saying they're apparently also taking Propecia. But sorry, just to throw that in there.
Propecia, yes. So finasteride. So sometimes it can be about the dose. So some people need higher doses. It might be about their body weight. It might be so a heavier person might need a higher dose. Can also be about how severe their hair loss is. You know, if you start it earlier when a patient is younger, they're going to do, you know, far better than if you leave it till a person is older or has more extensive hair loss. So there can be lots of different variables. I mean, again, I suggest have a chat to your doctor about it.
Now, I do have to go to Adam with the news, but there is one more question which I think just a few people might have had, so I'll just quickly throw this in. Is there any documented evidence that licorice root extract product can reverse hair loss? I see this all the time on social media, but no idea whether there is evidence or if it is a scam. Have you heard anything about licorice root extract?
I think it's probably a scam. I mean, it's, you know, it may have marginal benefit. I've not heard of it. Licorice root extract can be anti-inflammatory, but really most forms of hair loss don't have inflammation because they're not scarring. So I'd save your money and spend it on the stuff that actually works and start with a consultation with your friendly GP.
Dr. Gupta, New South Wales is indebted to you. Thank you very much for your generosity today. And yes, it's very much appreciated. Have a good afternoon.
All right. Thanks, Mark.
Have your say.
Call 1300 222 702.
This is Afternoons with Mark Humphreys, filling in for James O'Loughlin.
On 702 ABC Sydney and across ABC New South Wales.